All right, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Thought I would share a message about Christmas and how to observe or celebrate the Christmas season. And I'm going to focus on verses 17 to 20, but to give us the context, I want to go ahead and read beginning in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ," or Messiah, "the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Well, Christmas is coming, folks, and it's already the season of the Christmas observance and celebration. And I need not inform you that so often Christmas is not celebrated in the right way. You know, some folks celebrate Christmas by selfish indulgence. They may get drunk, engage in gluttony or some other sinful activity. Many major on Santa Claus and the materialistic gratification of getting gifts. And even though many of us Christians want to remember the true meaning of Christmas, we often fail to achieve that desire. We're so busy going to parties and special events and buying Christmas presents and even doing church-related activities that we really don't pause enough to properly observe what Christmas is really all about. So tonight I want us to think back to that first Christmas night and see how the people we read about in this story observe Christmas. And actually there are four ways that I can glean from this text of Scripture of how we too can properly observe Christmas. And the first way to observe Christmas is by witnessing to others about Christ. God used some humble shepherds as the first witnesses, the first evangelists of the prophecy that had been fulfilled, that the Messiah had been born. They celebrated by telling others about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And to what purpose were the angels sent if the message was not to be spread abroad? So think about the example of the shepherds. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, of course they had gone to Bethlehem, they found the babe lying in a manger, just like the angel said. It says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, probably the shepherds were the first to visit this baby, this special baby, the Lord Jesus. And after they had seen the Christ child, they began to tell others of their marvelous discovery, that what the angels told them indeed was true, that this is the one that God had promised. Now, it's not clear to what extent they told others, but we have some hints of it. For example, in verse 18, it talks about all who heard them, and that all certainly would have included Mary and Joseph, but surely there were others, maybe who had come to visit this baby, others there in Bethlehem as they were leaving. And the language of verse 20 seems to suggest that surely they also shared their praises with others as they returned to the fields where their sheep were. Perhaps there were a couple of shepherds that were left behind to tend to the sheep, and they told them about what they saw and what they discovered. But I can just imagine, perhaps it was a few miles journey back to where they were tending the sheep, that anybody they saw, they told the good news of what the angels had announced to them and what they had seen with their own eyes. God has finally sent his Savior, the Messiah. And you know, the Gospel of Luke seems to have been written not just from second-hand sources, but I believe Luke, on one of his visits to Judea, actually interviewed various people in preparation for writing his gospel. And if there were some young shepherds, then they could have still been alive at the time that Luke was preparing to write this gospel. And perhaps Luke even interviewed some of these shepherds. Interviewed Mary, if she was still alive. So they told others, and then through Luke's gospel, their message continues to be shared to this very day. And their witness was no doubt prompted by their excitement. Their what they discovered was second to none. They had witnessed the simple and yet the sublime. What could be more simple than a young couple, common people, in a lowly stall where animals were kept? And yet, what could be more sublime than that they had seen angels? That they had seen the glory of God manifested surrounding the angels. And they had said in verse 12, this will be a sign to you. The angel said this, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And when they went to find this baby, sure enough, they found what had to have been unusual. For a baby to be lying in an area where animals were kept. And even more significant, that the sign was they would find the babe lying in a feeding trough, which is what a manger was. Surely this was the sign that confirmed and strengthened their faith, and they just had to tell others that the Messiah had been born. And I want you to think of how excited they were at the news that they had discovered. And think back when you first believed the gospel. When you first believed in Jesus. Do you remember how excited you were about your newfound faith? Well, that's the way it was with these shepherds. And so one of the most important ways that we too should observe Christmas is by doing what the shepherds did, and that's telling others of what we know about Jesus, what we have learned about Jesus. Acts 4:20, the apostle said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We have heard and seen through the scriptures wonderful things that God has done for us in the sending of Jesus. And Revelation 22:17 says, "Let him that hears say, come." If you've heard the gospel, if you've heard the truth of Christ, then we should invite others to come and drink of the water of life freely. So how can we be any less sure that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, than the shepherds were at that particular point? After all, we have more evidence than the shepherds had. Yes, they heard the angels. Yes, they saw the fulfillment of the sign. But we are privileged not only to know these truths, but we are privileged to know that Christ grew up and loved us so much that he was even willing to go to the cross and suffer and die for our sins. If the news of the birth of Christ compelled them to be witnesses, how much more should the sacrificial love of Christ compel us to be witnesses of such great love? And yes, we can testify not only of what we have heard from Scripture and read in Scripture, but what we have personally experienced. Yes, the shepherds experienced some wonderful things, seeing and hearing the shepherds, seeing the fulfillment of the babe lying in a manger, but we have experienced the Lord in our own lives. We have experienced the new birth. We have experienced the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord, and we have experienced a changed life. And how much more should we, in this season of the year, tell others about Christ? And by the way, notice to whom this task of receiving the angelic message and proclaiming the angelic message was given, not to rabbis, not to the leading people of the community, but to shepherds who were on the fringes of Israelite society, lowly shepherds. And so if God could use these humble people to be witnesses of Christ, then God can use anyone, right? You don't need a college degree or a Bible college or seminary degree to be a witness for Christ. You can just follow the example of the shepherds. And so I think that's one of the most important ways that we can observe Christmas is by telling the story of Christmas. And, you know, we're going to have a cantata this, Robert's going to be preaching a Christmas message this Sunday. The choir's going to be singing a Christmas message this Sunday. We can invite people and we can encourage them to hear the message that way. But we should also look for opportunities at this season of the year. You know, say Merry Christmas. You know, when they say Happy Holidays, you say, well, Merry Christmas, you know. And look for an opportunity to say it's about the birth of Christ. That's what we celebrate. As we get together with family, make sure that the story of Christmas is part of that celebration. Tell our children, our grandchildren, what Christmas is really all about. So celebrate by witnessing about Christ. But secondly, celebrate Christmas by holy wonder and adoration. In verse 18, we read, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." What they said and what God did was something that people marveled about. It was something wonderful and amazing. So from the example of these people, we also see that we should contemplate the wonders of the Christmas story. And there are wonders in that story indeed. Now, there should be private times of meditation on the wonders of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, the appearance of the angels, the conception, the virgin birth of Jesus. There's just so much that's amazing and wonderful about this story. And in particular, we can wonder at his birth and incarnation. There have been billions of babies born, certainly since the birth of Jesus. But why should we marvel at this birth? Well, this birth was unique indeed. The shepherds marveled at the angels and fulfilled prophecy, not just the fulfilled prophecy of finding the baby lying in a manger, but the hundreds of prophecies that predicted the coming of Jesus. And no doubt we can wonder at the thought that God's promise of the Messiah had finally been fulfilled. Now, I don't know if these shepherds understood the fullness of what had happened, that God had become in human flesh, incarnate in human flesh. But we know that's true. And we should marvel and wonder that God became a man, that God would become one of us and experience our sorrows, our difficulties, our pains, our griefs. Yes, that's amazing and marvelous indeed. But we also should wonder and be amazed at the great love that was manifested in the sending of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, I tell you, I'm seeing our world become increasingly evil. You know, folks, it's just getting worse and worse. And you know, how could we blame God if he just wiped humanity off the face of the earth, like he did with the flood? But instead of doing that, he sent his Son to save us from our sins. How he would lovingly humble himself to suffer and die on a cross for our salvation. And so we should observe Christmas by reflecting upon the wonder and the amazement of the love of Christ, the condescension of Christ, I think is the right word, that he would become one of us and be our Savior. But then as we move down to verse 19 in the example of Mary, I think Mary teaches us something about how we should observe Christmas, and that is to ponder and preserve in our hearts the truths of Christ. Mary had already experienced some amazing things when Gabriel made that announcement to her, and she experienced conception miraculously and so forth and so on, hearing the report of the shepherds. But verse 19 says, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, if you look at that carefully, she exercised three parts of her being. Her memory, she kept and retained all these things in her mind. Her affections, she kept them in her heart. And her intellect, she pondered them. So think of each of these and how we should exercise these same faculties in our Christmas observances. And the first is to exercise your memory. Mary kept all these things. She treasured them, carefully storing away all these things she had seen and heard about Jesus. Years later, she could recall in every detail what had happened around that time of the birth of her son. And even so, we should make a special point to remember all of these details about the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus instituted the Last Supper, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." He wanted us especially to remember his death and the significance of his death. Now, we're not specifically commanded to remember his birth, but it's a good thing for us also to remember his birth and all the details surrounding the birth of Christ. And so she purposely sought to remember the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And years later, she was able to tell others, perhaps Luke himself, of all of these details. And you know, it's not surprising that a mother would carefully remember all of the events surrounding the birth of her son. You know, we as parents remember milestones in our children's lives. I remember Andrew's first birthday. I remember where it was, the location, the house, who was invited. And I remember that we wouldn't allow him to have sweets, but on his first birthday, he was allowed to eat cake, I believe, for the first time, and that cake was all over his face. I think we still have the picture of that. We remember special events and milestones in the lives of our children, and how much more was that true of Mary? Well, we certainly should remember all the events and the stories and the teachings of Christ. The psalmist said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart." And we should do as Mary did and remember these events in the life of Christ so that we can reflect and be challenged by what he did and what he said, and we can tell others as well. So we should exercise our memory. We should exercise our intellect. Notice verse 19 also says that Mary pondered these things. That word means to confer with oneself. You know how sometimes we kind of mull over and reflect and kind of ponder and kind of talk to ourselves about what we've seen and heard, try to understand what it means. You know, she heard and experienced so many events surrounding the birth of Christ that she was trying to piece it all together to understand what it means. And we should do the same thing. We should seek to fully understand the meaning and significance of the birth and coming of Christ. And we should also exercise our affections. Notice that she pondered them not just in her mind, but in her heart. she knew this baby was special. This baby had a special mission from God, would be great, would be the very Son of God. She didn't know all that Christ would do, but she knew much that he would be and accomplish. And no doubt from the very beginning, she loved Jesus. And she loved Jesus to the very end. You know, there weren't many of the followers of Jesus that followed him all the way to the cross. But Mary was one of the few that did. And we're not surprised, are we? Oh, how she loved Jesus. And if she loved Jesus, we certainly should love Jesus as well. For he's not our son, but he is our Savior. And he died for us, and he saved us by suffering on a cross. And so as you reflect upon the coming and mission of Jesus, it should provoke love in your heart for Jesus, as Mary no doubt loved Jesus. Well, there's another way that the people in this story celebrated that first Christmas that's an example to us, and that is we should glorify and praise God at Christmas. That's what the shepherds did in verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Well, that's how we should respond to the amazing story of Christmas as well. We should glorify and praise God for what he has done in the coming of Jesus into this world. And so we celebrate Christmas by praising God, by glorifying God, by worshiping God. But you know, there's going to be a lot of people that this Christmas season, they will not go and worship God even one time this Christmas season. But that will not be true of us. We will worship and praise the Lord this Christmas season. But notice the place of this work of glorifying and praising God. They glorified God as they returned, it says there in verse 20. Now, they could have gone a little further and gone to the temple to praise God, but they returned to their place of work, and there they praised God as well as on the way there. Common places. And so there's a lesson for us that we should praise and glorify God, not just at church, but wherever we go. You don't have to quit your job and become a preacher to praise and glorify God. These shepherds were just returned to their work, their common work, and glorified and praised God. But notice one of the means of glorifying God, they glorified God by praising him. Psalm 50:23 says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." And the shepherds really were following the example of the angels. When the angels appeared to them, it indicates in verses 13 to 14 that they glorified God and they praised God, as we see in those verses. And I wonder how they went about glorifying and praising God that first Christmas as they returned. Don't you think they might have been doing a little bit of shouting about what they had just experienced? Maybe some good old-fashioned Baptist shouting, you know. Maybe some leaping and hopping as they were filled with joy about what they had experienced. I can imagine that they praised God by singing some of the psalms that seemed appropriate for that particular time. And so I hope that we, and I'm sure this audience, but others as well, will this Christmas season gather with God's people to sing praise to God for sending a Savior, sending Jesus to be our Savior. And what was the subject of their praise? They praised God for what they had seen and heard. You know, I wish I were there. Man, to have that angel, that mighty angel appear. And then it says a host, an army of angels appeared and glorified God. Boy, did they see something amazing. They praised God for what they had seen and heard. But you know, we have seen God do amazing work in our own lives and the lives of others. We have heard and read the amazing things that God has done in the Scriptures. We can tell what we have seen and heard and experienced. But to be more specific, they praised God that what they had seen was in agreement with what they had heard. Again, in the last of verse 20, it says, praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told them. As it was told them. Again, they were told they would find a babe lying in a manger. And when they went, they found it exactly the way the angel said. And so it just confirmed that what the angel said about a Savior being born was true. And so they were praising God that He had kept His promises, that He had fulfilled His promise to Israel and to the world in sending a Savior. And haven't you found that to be true? Again, God has made promises about saving us and forgiving our sins and the peace that comes from that and promises of comfort and joy and, again, a changed life. So much of what God has promised, we ourselves have experienced. And so this Christmas season, I hope you will observe Christmas by witnessing to others, engaging in wonder and admiration, pondering and preserving the truths about Christ, and by praising God. What better way to observe Christmas than what we see exemplified in this text of Scripture? God has done so much for us. These are some things that we should do for Him. Thank you for joining us for another study in God's Word, and we'll have a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Jesus, for sending the angels to declare His birth, for the fulfillment of prophecy. Lord, help us in these coming days to witness of Christ. Help us to adore Christ, to reflect on Christ. Help us to praise and worship You for what You have done in Christ. Lord, help us not to get caught up in the worldly things of Christmas, but help us to focus on what Christmas is really all about. Bless our upcoming Christmas observances and worship services. Bless the choir as they prepare even tonight to sing this Sunday. And bless Pastor Robert as he brings a message, the Sunday school teachers as they teach the Christmas story, at least on the 24th. We just ask that you'll give us a blessed Christmas, especially with a proper focus on Christ. And I ask this in Jesus' name.